Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I don't really know how this is going to end this morning. I just know that all week I was seeking the Lord about the direction for the weeks ahead, and I had a direction that I thought the Lord was giving me until early this morning. That may come later, but there was at the same time a word that the Lord had spoken to me earlier in the week, just a thought, a seed for a message that I believe is from the Lord, and it's for someone, perhaps more than someone. I believe it's for at least someone at each location, or I wouldn't be preaching it today. And the Word of God always has something for all of us in it. So the title of the message today is The Only Thing Holding You Back. The Only Thing Holding You Back. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, beginning with verse 17. But as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk. And so I ordain in all the churches. Was anyone called while circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Was anyone called while uncircumcised? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. Were you called while a slave? Do not be concerned about it, but if you can be made free, rather use it. For he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brethren, let each one remain with God in that state in which he was called. In that state in which he was called. Turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. And we're going to stop right there. I'll be thrown so much at you, you won't remember what we read when we come back to the message in a few moments. Now let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for your anointing. God, I can't work that up, and I can't create it. All I can do is trust you for it, and that's what I do now in this moment. I ask you for the anointing of God. I ask you for the Holy Spirit's power to preach your word under the influence of your Spirit and not of my own will, my own ways. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would be very present with us and you would speak to each heart. You have a word in due season for each one of us, and I pray that you would speak to us today in this word. More than anything else, Jesus, be glorified and be lifted up in this place, for it's in your precious name we pray. Amen. I want to ask you this morning, are you frustrated in your walk with the Lord because of where you are? Are you frustrated? Do you desire to be whatever God wants you to be that boy or girl or man or woman of God that He's called you to be? And are there times, and for some of you this may be true, for some of you it may not be, praise the Lord, but deep in your heart are there times when you say, if I didn't have this in my life, I would be able to serve God with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you can fill in the blank. If I did not have this, whatever this may be, if I didn't have this in my life, I'd be free to serve the Lord. I've got a vision. I know what God wants me to be. I know He wants me to be someone. But if I didn't have this in my life, then I could be what God wanted me to be. There's something that's a hindrance. There's something that's holding me back, and you may even insert in that, there's somebody that's holding me back. Or there's a circumstance that's holding me back. Lord, it's that husband you gave me. If it weren't for that husband you gave me, I could serve you with all of my heart. But he won't get with the program. Or, Lord, it's that wife you gave me. I can't seem to do what you want me to do because of this person that's in my life. Or maybe it's the children you gave me, Lord. I can't be what you want me to be because of the children you gave me. Or maybe you have elderly parents that you're taking care of. And Lord, I can't be what you want me to be because of that old dad of mine or that old mom of mine, you know, that's always demanding so much of my attention. The enemy will deceive you with these thoughts. Lord, I could follow you with all of my heart if it weren't for this. If it were not for him, if it were not for her, if it were not for it, this circumstance, my job. Lord, if it weren't for my job, I could just go run after your will with all of my heart and do anything that you wanted me to do. If it weren't that I'm so busy, Lord, then I could be what you want me to be. I'm sure that some of you may have been there. A multitude of things are to blame for why we can't be what God wants us to be. Satan is always whispering these things. If I could cast off this one thing, then Lord, I could follow you the way that you want me to. If I could just get me a wife that loved God, then Lord, I could follow you. If I could get me a husband that loved God, then Lord, I could follow you. Lord, there's somebody that's holding me back, or there's this circumstance that's holding me back. If I could just get a different job, then Lord, I could be what you want me to be. One day my schedule will be different. Then Lord, I can serve you. In our passage in 1 Corinthians, if you will turn back there, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul is speaking to two groups of people. We may not read much of it or any of it again. I just want you to be there so you can glance over it. He is speaking to two different groups of people. The first group is dealing with a religious issue. The second group is dealing with a station in life. I'm going to be talking about your station in life this morning. The first group is dealing with a religious issue. You see all of this where he says, was anyone called in verse 18 while circumcised? And was anyone called while uncircumcised? Let him not be circumcised. This was a religious issue. Because the Lord had come first to the Jews, and then the church was open to the Gentiles. And as the Gentiles came in, you know, circumcision was a sign of the covenant for the Jewish people. So as Gentiles came in who were not of the people of God and were not circumcised, then some of the Jews were getting super religious on them and legalistic and saying, you can't be a Christian, you can't follow Jesus unless you first obey the Jewish law and be circumcised, because that will mark you as the people of God, and then you'll be in good standing to be a good Christian and to be able to go on in the faith. Paul is saying this outward external thing has nothing to do with your faith. Because now circumcision is of the heart. And so some religious thing that you can do or not do has nothing to do with your standing in God. And so he's saying, remain as you are. So for us today, this issue is basically a health issue for many people. But for the people of God, for the early church, it was no longer an issue. It wasn't a religious issue. And it wasn't a commandment of God for them anymore, because God had said it was a type and a shadow, as Maggie talked about in our Genesis class Thursday night, of the cutting away of the flesh nature, of the old ways, of self-will, so that there is the pure worship from the heart. And so now in the new covenant, he's saying, this is all circumcision is, it's of the heart. And so I go back to the statement, it says in verse 20, let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. Now listen to me, because I have to identify something, I have to define something. There are two different uses of the word calling. He is not speaking of the call of God to ministry in this particular verse. He is speaking of your station in life. Are you a farmer and that's your calling? It may also be a ministry. But he's saying, remain in the calling. He is speaking of this specific moment. This will make sense in a little bit, don't worry. He is speaking of now in this moment in time. Remain right where you are. If you're a farmer, keep farming. If you're a pharmacist, keep pharmacisting. Or whatever it may be. If you're a mother, keep mothering. If you're a father, keep fathering. If you're circumcised, remain circumcised. If you're not, don't. Because I want you to understand that the call of God is something other than your station in life. And listen to me, because this is the heart of this message. The call of God is not bound by your station in life. It is not bound or fettered by your station in life. He says, remain even as you are. He's talking to those who are being told, you've got to do this religious thing. That was the first group. The second group he gets to, he switches over, and he begins to talk to those who are slaves. Now, you've got to understand that in the early church, there were people who were being born again, and they were coming into the church. Some were slaves, some were masters. What an incredible thing. Here, all of a sudden, in the congregation, here are masters and slaves who have been in that role for years, and suddenly they are brothers in the Lord. Now, why didn't Paul just say, set your slaves free? Ultimately, Christianity was the force that brought about the freedom, although there were hindrances at times from Christianity. Overall, it was the Word of God that brought freedom to slaves in many parts of the world, even though there are some places where slavery is still practiced today. It was Christians like William Wilberforce that were moved by God to help break people out of that mold of thinking, out of this entrenchment from many, many years of history. But the point that I'm wanting to make is that in the early church, they weren't concerned at that moment with certain social issues that they knew that they couldn't suddenly change in all of society. They were concerned with two things. It was getting the gospel out and expecting Jesus to come any day. They knew, okay, if Jesus comes tomorrow, there's not going to be any slavery in heaven. And that was their focus right then. Now, this message isn't about that, but I want you to understand the context here. Because Paul doesn't say, set your slaves free. But he says, remain as you are. And if you can become free, if you are released from slavery, then use it to the glory of God. But if not, use it to the glory of God. He doesn't say, well, I'm sorry for those of you who are in this sad station in life. You're not going to be able to be my called out ones. You're not going to be able to be my men, my women, my people, because it'll just be too difficult for you. You know, the focus, again, was honor the Lord. Focus on the Lord. And again, he says in verse 20, let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. I want to repeat this. Paul said to them, if you are granted your freedom, use it to serve God with all of your might. If you're not granted your freedom, use it to serve God with all of your might. If you've got a great job that you absolutely love, use it to serve God with all of your might. If you've got a crummy job that you hate, use it to serve God with all of your might. Okay? I want us to have the understanding here of what I'm saying. Now, I'm not saying that that may never change, that God doesn't change circumstances. I'm not saying He never calls you to leave a job, so let's not carry this off, run off the cliff with it. What I want you to understand is that some callings may change, like your job. Others may not, like your covenant marriage. Nevertheless, the call of God on your life doesn't change. The call to be other than what you were in this world, called to be someone who rises above earthly limitations and has the power of God on your life, is not bound by your station in life. Serve God right where you are. Your job calling may change. If it does, use it for God's glory. Your marriage calling is not going to change. Oh, Lord, if you didn't give me that wife, she doesn't love you, I can't serve you. If you hadn't given me that husband, I can't serve you with all of my heart. Your marriage covenant is not going to change before the Lord. Serving. Use your current state in life to serve God with all of your might. The devil loves to try and get you to cast off what you consider to be the restraints that have been placed on your walk with God. Lord, only if, then I'd be free to be what you want me to be. It's not been this way in the history of Christianity in the world. We have brothers and sisters in persecuted countries right now that might think in their heart, oh Lord, if the boundaries were changed, if the regime toppled, if the dictator was gone. But they don't say, then I would serve you. They say, Lord, now I'll lay my life down for you in the midst of this horrible situation. And they shine more brightly for the Lord than those of us who have much more freedom and yet say in our heart, God, there's something holding me back. There's something holding me back from serving you. There's only one thing holding you back. And that's you. William Carey, one of the missionaries that I studied a few years ago, William Carey is called the father of modern missions. He lived from late 1700s through the early 1800s. And he was an English Baptist missionary to India in a time when there were no mission movements. I know that's hard for us to understand. But people just thought, God will either save the heathen or he won't. It's none of our business. And William Carey was gripped by a burden for the lost people of the world. He wrote a book in England. He began to make it known in the churches that God was concerned with the lost, and they just had nothing. He caused an uproar everywhere he went. People didn't want to hear what he had to say because it was so convicting. But God called him to India, and in his lifetime he translated the Bible into Bengali, into Sanskrit, and to numerous other languages and dialects. But as a young man, he was apprenticed. He came up in terrible circumstances. And he was apprenticed to a shoemaker. God had a call on his life. He knew that God was calling him. He became a Christian during those early years, and he had to wait. Listen to me. I want you to hear these words. He waited on the Lord's timing. But as a young boy, I don't remember how old he was, but he wasn't what we would call a man yet. And he had already left home and was apprenticed to this shoemaker and was living in his shop. And long, hard hours working, learning the trade of a shoemaker. Listen what he did during those years as a young kid. He learned Hebrew, Italian, Dutch, French, and the Bible, preparing himself for the call that God had upon his life. He didn't sit in the shoemaker's shop and say, God, if you get me out of this job, then maybe I could serve you. He prepared his heart before the Lord. And he served the Lord right where he was, but trusted God for the doors that would open later in his life. But the most difficult of all was when he finally took the step of faith to leave and get on a ship and go to the mission field in India. The first man in the European, in the Western world, to say, God wants us to go to these people. And he gets on a ship, but just before he gets on the ship, his wife has said the whole time, I am not going. I don't agree with you. And she would whine and complain and cry. And he was like, well, I'm going. I have to obey the Lord. Well, I'm not going. And she was a sickly woman. There were many things, as you'll see in a moment, that were problems in this situation. But he determined to serve the Lord. Now, I started this message One of the examples I gave was, Lord, it's that wife you gave me, or Lord, it's that husband you gave me. God's not saying leave your wife or your husband. But there have been times in history that God called somebody to do something that meant I have to take a step of faith and go, whether my wife or my husband agrees or not, and trust them to God. And so he got on the ship. Well, just before he got on the ship, his wife's sister said, if I go, maybe she will go. And so she convinced her sister that she would go with her to help her and that she wouldn't be as afraid. So this sister laid her life down basically to go on the mission field so that this man's wife would accompany him on the mission field. It gets worse because on the mission field for years and years, this man was involved in taking the gospel to people who were hostile, taking the gospel, spending days, weeks, months trying to translate the Bible into their languages. Many, many things that went wrong. Let me tell you something. There was no name it and claim it in his ministry. There was, I must press on because Satan wants to stop me everywhere I turn. And this man, from the time they got to India, he began to deal with a wife who was losing her mind, and I mean that literally. Before long, she was totally, in the words of that day, insane. And she sat in a dark room in her chair and would not eat, hardly ever, just enough to survive, would have fits where she had to be physically confined to protect her from harming herself. And this man carried the gospel to India, translated the Bible into all of those languages. All the while, he had a wife that was what many would consider to be a huge burden and no quality of life for him or for her. But Paul said, remain as you are. Remain as you are. Not, God, if you just take her home, or if you just take her home, then maybe I can get on with the work. No, I'll lay my life down for her and for you, Lord, and I'll be obedient. So you see, God may move you from one station in life to another in the things that are considered areas of responsibilities outside of the home in His timing. But sometimes that timing takes a while. But there will always be some things that we have no control over and we're not allowed to change. Where you are right now, go with God. Where you are right now, serve the Lord with all of your heart. Let's look at Hebrews 12 again. Verse 1 says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, that's those who have gone on before us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You can't lay aside your covenant. You can't lay aside your job until God says, lay it aside. Can't lay aside your children. Can't lay aside your old parents. Can't lay aside the situation unless God speaks according to His Word. Says, now I have a different job for you, or I have a different move for you. But in many of the things I just named, there is no move. There is serve right where you are. Serve right where you are. Well, that's hard. Yeah, he never said it would be easy. Notice that it says the sin which so easily ensnares us. I said a few moments ago, there's nothing that can hold you back except yourself. But it's deeper than that because it's self. Self itself. I don't just mean you, I mean self on the throne. Nothing can hold you back, no matter how bad your circumstance is. Nothing can hold you back from serving God except self on the throne, which is sin. Sin is the only thing that can keep you from serving God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Sometimes we have our own ideas of where we're to be and what we're to be doing. God says, "Were you bound? Remain even as you are. Were you uncircumcised? Remain even as you are. Were you a slave? Remain even as you are." Don't try to jump ship in the station of life wherein God has placed you. He will move you if it's something that is in His will, in His timing, when you have done His will where He has you. You can't lay aside some things. What you must lay aside is the blame of those things. You know, today one of the most popular things in our society is to play the blame game. You got to find somebody to blame for why you can't do or aren't doing what you ought to be doing. And you know it's true. God's saying don't look on either side of you. Look inside of you. Don't look on either side of you. Look inside of you. God will tell you how to deal with your station in life. He may direct you to change something. He may direct you in His timing to a new job. But you better be sure that's Him directing you and not your own desires of your own heart. But mostly, He's teaching you. Mostly, He's teaching you. Do you know that most of your Christian walk is school? I was so glad to get out of school, only to have to jump back in. Oh, I'm not one of those people who says, "Oh, if I could just go back to 12th grade. Oh, you'd have to come put a straitjacket on me if I thought I had to go back to 12th grade." I have never been so glad to get out of any place in my life as I was to get out of high school. You know, and then God, when you get serious with God, He puts you back in school. Life is a school. And we're learning all the way through it. We don't stop learning. Look at verses 3 through 11. We won't read all of them again, but consider Him who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Well, He's already told us in verse 2, look to Jesus. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. I remember the man that we spent the night with in the church building, desiring to help him be free of heroin. And to come off of heroin without medical help makes you very, very sick. And what the person compares it with is having a horrible case of the flu. You know, and he said, "But it's like having the flu." I said, "Then have the flu. It's the kingdom of God. Is it not worth going through some time of pain and withdrawal and suffering?" And I know you may say, "But you don't understand. You haven't been there." No, but there are multitudes who have, and God saw them through to come off of that, and He has the power to do that. You know, and you know, he went through the whole night, and then the devil put somebody right outside the door so that he went outside for a moment, and there they were ready to take him away to get some more. But the point is, you know, I hear people say, "Oh, it's so hard, it's so hard," whether it's smoking or whether it's drugs or whether it's alcohol. And I think to myself, not without any compassion, because I struggle enough with food. And if I struggle that much with food, how much more do some people struggle with things that have been bondages for a lifetime? But all I'm talking about here is the attitude. I'd rather suffer. It said, you know, it says here, you've not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. And in another place, he says, he who has suffered is done with sin. not suffered for your own sin, but gone through a suffering because you're so determined to be rid of it, that you're willing to go through some suffering to put some distance between you and that thing which is a hindrance in your life. You've not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. That's the disciplining of the Lord. Nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every son whom He loves. I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel mighty loved. When I was growing up, if I could have understood that every one of those belts was love, I might have appreciated them a little bit more in the moment. Likewise, if I can appreciate the disciplining of the Lord is love, then I can understand that He's teaching me something in the stations of life in which I find myself. Don't despise your station in life. It may well be the chastening of the Lord. Can I tell you that chastening doesn't always imply that you've done something wrong and you're being punished? Chastening is the corralling of the horse into the chute into which it's supposed to go. It is the bridle and the bit in the mouth that controls until you go willingly. It's being hedged in on every side by circumstances where God won't let you go where you want to go, because He wants to bring you to a place. I don't even want to use the word tameness, of submission to His will right where you are. The only thing that can hold you back is you. It says again in verse 2, it says, look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. If He authored our faith and He's going to finish our faith, then He can carry us, put us where He wants us to be and with whom He wants us to be, and cause us to shine for Him where He has us. Let Him discipline. Let Him root things out. Follow what the Lord says in spite of your station in life. You remember Hosea? Hosea is one of my favorite Old Testament characters. And I'm just amazed at this man. We have such a picture of the gospel in the story of Hosea. We also have a God that we just can't fully understand. We have a God that we can't wrap our minds around. A God who told this prophet, I'm going to make your life an object lesson. And I believe He tells us the same thing. I'm going to make your life an object lesson. And I'm going to make your life an object lesson. Israel has committed adultery against Me. I am her husband, her God. And she's been unfaithful, running after other lovers, other gods. But I love her so much. And He said to Hosea, go and take a prostitute as your wife and love her the way that I love Israel. Hosea goes and he takes this woman, and if you study it, the names of their children will blow your mind. Because the names of their one child is named, Hosea named one of his children in the Hebrew, not mine. Not mine. After they were married, this unfaithful woman. And she kept running out after other lovers. God kept saying, go back, Hosea. Bring her back. Can I just tell you that what you think your station in life is supposed to be in order to be God's man or woman isn't always what God has in mind? Who would pick what Hosea picked? But this is his purpose in life. You're going to declare my word, and this is how you're going to do it. You're going to keep loving this unfaithful woman. Lord, if you just set me free from my circumstances and from this woman, then maybe I could serve you. That's why I called this woman to you, Hosea. I want you to love her. And in the end, she leaves and he goes. She's been sold into slavery. And you find a scene that you have to kind of look into it to see what's really happening, because you just get a glimpse of it in the Word of God. But he makes his way through the crowd, and there's Gomer, her name. There's Gomer standing on the auction block. Well, Lord, thank you. Finally, Lord, I don't have to deal with her anymore. Now I can go on and be the man of God you've called me to be. God says, no. Buy her back. And it's the picture, a perfect picture of the gospel. She stands there sold in sin. And he makes his way through the crowd. And he bids the final bid that purchases his own wife back. Just what Jesus did for us. You know, as Jesus, it says that he, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. There's a cross involved in following the Lord. For each one of you, that cross will be different. It's different for you. It's different for me. But God says, stay on the cross. Carry it. Serve me. Remain even as you were when you were called, unless I move you. Serve me where you are. Let's stand. A little shorter message today. Sometimes that's all the Lord needs. Speak to someone. Shield our heart to the Lord as we close in prayer. Father, how we love you and thank you for your Spirit in our lives and for your perfect will that you so desire to work out in us and through us. Help us to yield ourselves afresh to you this morning. I pray, Lord, that there are those here that are recommitting themselves to their station in life, Lord. That they would be able to not hide their light where they are, set it up on a lampstand. Shine for you in the darkness of the place in which they find themselves. God, may you be glorified through the life of each person in this church. May you set us ablaze for you and just blow a fresh wind of revival into our midst, Lord. Draw us close to you this week and protect us and keep us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.